Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, listen to this. Gen Z are the first to have grown up with social media integrated into real life. So, why have so many of them, millions in fact, decided to be anonymous online? Well, Ciara O'Brien, tech journalist with the Irish Times, is here to explain. Good morning, Ciara.
Good morning.
Ciara, why are Gen Z opting to be anonymous online?
Well, I think there's a few studies out there that says, you know, Gen Z don't understand privacy, or they don't value privacy as much as, say, older people. And there's all these conflicting studies. So because they've grown up with it, it's part of their life. It's not necessarily, like, for us, it was something shiny and new, and we learned about it as we went along. For them, it's like telephones were to us. It's just there. So I suppose, like, they've seen the worst of it. They've seen the best of it, but they've also seen the worst of it. You know, at this point, you know, we're all trying desperately to row back on what we're giving away to companies for free. So I think, you know, I mean, what you're probably seeing as part of that is that this younger generation, so I suppose anybody born in 1995 and afterwards, which makes me feel really, really old because I'm still of that generation that thinks of the 1990s was about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're seeing the worst parts of it. So they know what they want. They know what their data is worth, and they know what they want in return for handing it over. And this is not to say that, look, that they're not going to give any data at all, but they're basically just saying, we're not giving it away willy-nilly. We're not doing what everybody else did, which is, you know, kind of just hand it over for a free account. We are going to get something that we want out of it for handing over our data. So in case of some people, it's like they're willing to hand over kind of private data if they get a more targeted experience, or if they get something really good out of it. But they're not just willing to sign up for anything and everything, like, okay, unfortunately most of us were.
Yeah, I mean, that's the positive side of it. But Ciara, we have been told for years now that verified accounts are the solution to, let's say, online bullying. But it's not that simple, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, part of the reason is, how do you verify these accounts? So we've seen ourselves, like, even when there's verified accounts, it doesn't necessarily mean that the quality of the content coming out of that account is any better. I mean, there are plenty of people who have verified accounts on social media who, you know, engage in questionable behaviour, but to say the least. The problem is, look, we've seen all this commentary about how, you know, all these accounts should be verified. Nobody should be anonymous on the internet. There's an argument for that, and I do understand that. I have young children who are going to be kind of dealing with this, you know, kind of the cyberbullying side of things. Well, hopefully they won't have to deal with it, but, you know, it is going to be a reality for me at some point. But at the same time, there's a reason why anonymity is valued on the internet. And it's not just because you don't want to give away your personal data, but for some people, it's an actual safeguarding thing as well. So if you look on some communities, you know, they thrive on anonymity because it means that you can be somebody online that maybe you can't be in your real life. And you also have people who would be in physical danger if, you know, if you have a certain point of view. So maybe there's a regime in your country that, you know, you would have some sort of physical repercussions. Like, you'd actually be a safety concern if your real life was connected to your online life. But aside from that, I mean, like, who wants to hand over kind of verification details to any social media company? I mean, we've been told for years that we can't trust what companies are doing with our data. But at the same time, now we're being told, well, you know, if we want to have, I suppose, a more authentic experience online, everybody has to use their real name, everybody has to be verified. But the thing is, how do you verify that? Do you make people sign up, say, with a credit card? Because then that excludes people who don't have that option. Do you upload a photograph of your official ID, like your passport, your driver's license? Do you want to hand that over to a social media company? You know, it's that kind of thing that we have to think about as well.
Instagram was suggested as a bit of a less heated space, but Gen Z are also going anonymous there as well. Does this mean it could be the end of the influencer?
I think the influencer kind of trend has been on a bit of a slow decline, because when it started, the idea behind influencers were that, you know, people were giving their genuine opinions. And we've seen, I suppose, in recent years that people are kind of losing trust in the authenticity of that. And it all comes back to, you know, whether people are being authentic. And it's very hard to figure out if people are. And that's why you see all these anonymous, again, we come back to anonymous accounts, but all these anonymous accounts and websites that are exposing, and I use that word lightly because, you know, sometimes it's less of an expose and just more of a character assassination, the exposing influencers and, you know, making sure that they're following the rules and if they aren't, calling them out. And I think that people trust influencers less. And because of some of the changes as well that have been made to these social media platforms, it's less valuable for companies. You know, if you have to pay Instagram to kind of, you know, to get your brand seen, and then influencers are suffering from the same thing because they're changing the algorithms and how they're showing content to people, sure, why not just cut out the middleman and go straight for paying Instagram directly instead of having to pay influencers as well?
And TikTok has skewed away from pushing individual accounts to pushing unusual kind of content. So what is the good and the bad sides of that?
I suppose what TikTok are trying to do in a way is to stop people getting caught in that kind of feedback loop where, you know, we saw it with Facebook where people started to look at certain types of content and then they're served up similar content. So that's great if what you're looking at is puppies and kittens. But if you're kind of looking at more, for Facebook, it was, you know, people who were looking at conspiracy theory content and right-wing stuff. And they went down this rabbit hole. And we've seen the consequences of that in the real world. I mean, look, your Auntie Mary getting radicalized on Facebook, you know, it's probably not something that people would have thought about, you know, 10 years ago, but here we are. And I think that's partly what TikTok was trying to do is, you know, to stop people getting into that loop of getting kind of going down that rabbit hole. Whether or not it's going to work now is another thing.
Okay, so what are the platforms that are benefiting from the move away from personal accounts online?
So in the last couple of years, I mean, anything that had a bit of more of a privacy function to it. So Snapchat was originally kind of billed as the Facebook killer because, you know, they had all the disappearing messages and all that kind of thing. And what Facebook then did, obviously, was kind of mimic some of those features, and that kind of brought people back in. And they tried to do the same thing on Instagram with TikTok. So obviously TikTok has been, like, over the lockdown and the last 2 years of COVID hell, TikTok has been a huge beneficiary of that. And, you know, they basically, because it was so easy to get into, you didn't have to have an account, you just went straight in and it kind of hooked you in. And they even have those limitations on your time so that you can get a little notification if you spend far too much time kind of in a TikTok loop, as can very easily happen. But that'll be one of the major beneficiaries. I think they're over a billion monthly users, which is roughly the same as Instagram. And then there's another app called Be Real. Now, I'm kind of on the fence about this one because it's actually my idea of hell. But anyway, so what Be Real is it's an app that was launched in 2020, and it gives you a notification at a certain time, and different times each day, but a notification will pop up on your phone, and then you have 2 minutes to post a selfie or whatever to the platform. And what it does is it takes your photograph using your rear camera and also takes a selfie of you at the same time, and it basically posts that online, and you have that 2 minute window to do it, and then you can see all your friends' Be Real moments. And the idea is that this is more authentic because you can't curate the content, you know, you can't wait until you're standing on the side of a cliff with a lovely sunset in the background and have somebody take 20 photographs until you get the perfect one. But I mean, for me, this kind of authenticity is not actually, it's as fake as Instagram because it's forcing people into it. You know, I mean, if you want something authentic, it has to be real, and it can't just be, you know, this notification pops up on your screen and you have to do it there and then, because it's the worst of all the social media stuff anyway, because people will still kind of self-censor, you know. So I mean, if this pops up and it's 2 minutes and I'm in bed or, you know, slobbing around the house, I'm not posting that photo, thanks very much. I'll wait till tomorrow if I have to. And at the same time, I mean, it's not spontaneous, really, because you're being told by an app to do it. And it actually warns you on the app when you go to download it from the App Store. If you look in the description, it says, you know, it can be addictive. So it's got that addictive element to it anyway. And it's not necessarily going to force people to be more authentic. They're just going to be a bit more careful about, you know, when they post. And you can still post outside of that time, and you can still kind of take 3 or 4 attempts to do it. It'll just tell everybody that you took 3 or 4 attempts to do it.
I mean, on a practical level, I think people opting for a more anonymous experience online has to be a good thing with regards to those embarrassing moments that you probably don't want anybody to see, that we all kind of got away with and there's no camera phones and all that kind of stuff. But overall, as a tech journalist, what do you think about the idea of increased rather than decreased anonymity online? Do you think it's a positive thing?
I think so, yes. I suppose with some qualifiers. Obviously, you know, people are, the human nature being what it is, some people will always misuse technology. So the technology itself, you know, anonymity itself is not the problem. It's the people that are the problem. And I know that sounds odd, but, you know, I mean, like you can have, you know, completely anonymous accounts that behave perfectly well. You can have complete verified accounts where everybody knows who's behind them. And they don't behave well. So, you know, having no anonymity is not a kind of a guarantee that people are going to be nice or not bully or, you know, kind of be real online. But I'm kind of wondering at this point, you know, is anything actually real online, even when it claims to be 100% authentic? And I think keeping that in mind, you know, when we're going online, that, you know, a lot of this stuff, yes, Instagram is curated and it's unrealistic. But, you know, something like Be Real isn't necessarily any better.
Better, yeah.
And having that kind of, you know, having that anonymity, I suppose, stops things like, you know, we've seen the bad side of this, that, you know, where somebody does something wrong once and it follows them around for the rest of their life. And yes, there are ways around that now. So, like, Google's right to be forgotten. But people generally have long memories and the internet has an even longer one. So, you know, eventually it could pop up again somewhere. And do you really want that? And having that kind of anonymous, that anonymity online, that anonymous accounts online would stop that to a certain extent. But in saying that, nothing is 100% anonymous online. You always leave a trail.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you so much for that. Ciara O'Brien, tech journalist with the Irish Times. And we'll be right back after this.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.